Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other series, among them The War. It's our World War II podcast I did mainly back in 2013 and 2014, as we presented a look at the war from the pre-war era all the way through key events such as D-Day and VJ Day, as well as a few episodes looking at how the world and America changed after the war. It's more than 270 episodes of news and drama and comedy and music. Check it out at thewar.greatdetectives.net and check out all of the podcasts that we have available over at greatdetectives.net. Now we're going to get into Mr. Chameleon. Technically, playing Mr. Chameleon is a revisit with previously uncirculated episodes. However, this is going to be very different from anything else we've done before. Usually, it's something like we did 70-odd episodes of Nightbeat, here's one more. Or we did more than 100 episodes of Philip Marlowe, here's three more. Or even, we did 36 episodes of Jeff Regan, here's 17 more. We actually only had two episodes of this. We played it the last week of December of 2013 and the first week of January 2014. And it was a frustrating couple of episodes because I knew that Mr. Chameleon had a long history on the air. It was produced by the Radio Factory of Ann and Frank Hummert, which also produced Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, among its many other offerings. And I've also found out that it was a top-rated program on CBS, even into the early 50s. So it was baffling, the two episodes we got. There was one episode where, to be honest, the story was a bit off. Then we get the last episode of the series, which is barely listenable to because of all the skips in the audio in the last few minutes. So I was honestly left puzzled. Well, over the next few months, we're going to bring you more than 20 episodes. Mr. Chameleon episodes have been coming into circulation and availability at a pretty high rate. And honestly, I've not seen anything quite like it with a series that really just had those two episodes sitting around. In addition, we get 9 of the first 10 episodes of Mr. Chameleon, so we can have an idea of how it started. So while this is technically a revisit, we are practically starting from scratch. So with all that out of the way, let's go ahead and take a listen to the first episode of Mr. Chameleon. The original air date is July the 21st, 1948, and the title is The Case of the Dead Woman's Eyes.
Tonight, we present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself. Appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force, where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears, but the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the case of the dead woman's eyes. Our story opens in the ornate drawing room of the Walters Mansion, a monumental pile of stone in the East 60s, and despite the summer heat, the room is cool and shadowy. So cool that Mrs. Walters, middle-aged patrician, shivers a little. Or could it be from anger? Anger and a strange fear which shows in her voice as she says to the person across from her,
I can't believe that you, of all people, would do this to me. My husband trusted you, and so did I. And now I find that you've been stealing from me. Don't deny it. You've been stealing. Oh, really, this makes me ill. Where are those soda mint tablets? The ones you gave me the other day. Oh, there, on the mantel. Give them to me, please. Thank you. They always help. Ah, that's queer. They taste so bitter. What have you given me? What have you given me?
Wait! Help me! Help!
Mrs. Walters. Mrs. Walters, answer me. Mrs. Walters!
Mrs. Noel, what's the matter? What is it? Why did you... Mother!
Oh, Miss Phyllis, don't look. Please don't look. Her face... Miss Phyllis, I'm afraid your mother is dead.
And now at Central Headquarters in the office of the Commissioner of Police. With him is the famous Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most feared man.
Hello, Commissioner. Do you want to see me?
Yes, Chameleon, I have some news for you.
Oh, bad, no doubt.
Bad for Mrs. Walters, Mrs. Harrison P. Walters. She's dead. Committed suicide.
What? I can't believe that.
Is that your considered judgment?
Well, it's my unconsidered judgment. Based on, number one, I saw her just last night at the St. Regis Hotel with her daughter and a Mr. Lucas. Mm-hmm. I went over to her table. She seemed perfectly healthy, perfectly happy.
Go on. You said that was reason number one.
Well, there is no reason number two. Good Lord, Commissioner, that woman had everything. She was on top of the pile. How'd she do it?
Poison. It seems for some time she'd been carrying these pills around with her that everyone thought was soda mints. Turned out they weren't.
Who found the body?
Her housekeeper, Mrs. Newell. She heard her cry out. When she reached her, she was dead. And alone in the room. What else but suicide?
Funny. I've known so many of them, neurotics, potential suicides. But I would swear that Mrs. Walters... Well, that she would never give in to the particular kind of despair that... leads to suicide.
Well, get over there, will you? Dave Arnold's already there, but you know these people socially. Sort of circulate among them, you know, unobtrusively. Sort of take on their coloring.
Hmm? You mean live up to my name, Chameleon? All right, Commissioner. You know something? It is now my considered judgment that Mrs. Harrison P. Walters did not commit suicide. Hello, Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold.
Dave to you, Mr. Chameleon. I thought you'd be along. Some swell place, this, huh?
How's it going?
Open and shut. Case of simple suicide. You want to look at the body?
Mm-hmm. Of course, Dave, violent death is seldom simple. Oh, wait just a moment. I want to speak to the young daughter, Miss Walters. Miss Walters?
Yes? Oh, well, Mr. Chameleon, I heard you might be here. But why? Why did they have to send for you?
They always send for Mr. Chameleon, darling. How do you do, sir? I'm Arthur Lucas.
Yes, I remember. We met last night.
Yes, I didn't realize at the time you were the famous detective.
Well, that's because I'm rather... let's be charitable and call it nondescript.
Well, on the contrary, I'd say you're most distinguished looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chameleon, this is a frightful tragedy.
Yes, frightful. I was most shocked when I heard about your mother, Miss Walters.
I know. It's so awful to think she wanted to die.
Well, perhaps she didn't. Surprising how few of us do.
But, Mr. Chameleon...
Will you excuse me, please? I must examine the body. Dave?
Yes, sir.
Have you those tablets Mrs. Walters carried with her?
Mm-hmm. Right here. Well, what are you doing?
I'm just turning back her eyelids. She died in agony, all right. Let's have one of those tablets. I want to break it open.
Oh, we know they're poisoned.
Oh, there are poisons and poisons in that. Good Lord.
Well?
What is it?
Mr. Chameleon.
Miss Walters? Your mother was murdered.
But that's impossible. She took those tablets herself.
I'm sorry, she was murdered. By a very rare and unusual poison from Rhodesia. I didn't even know there was any in this country. Your mother, I'm sure, would have had no access to anything quite so difficult to obtain.
Mr. Chameleon, it's fantastic. A rare and deadly poison hardly known in this country. No, it's too fantastic.
Nothing, Mr. Lucas, is too fantastic for the criminal mind.
Yes, but a poison like this, if it's so hard to get...
Well, there must be some hidden somewhere, a secret supply.
But who would want to kill Mrs. Walters? What would be the motive?
What do you think?
I? Well, I'll tell you what.
Arthur?
Ralph, I didn't hear you come in. Mr. Chameleon, this is my partner, Ralph Crane.
Mr. Chameleon, the detective?
You sound slightly incredulous.
Well, you're such a well-known investigator.
Very glad to know you, Mr. Crane. Mr. Lucas here was just about to give me a motive for Mrs. Walters' murder, and I...
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, what is it, Dave?
The housekeeper. They checked up on her. And who do you think she is? Her name isn't Newell at all. It's Schultz, the mother of Jim Schultz.
The one at Sing Sing?
That's it. He's serving a life term for murder, and... he used to handle uncut diamonds that were smuggled in from Africa.
Rhodesia.
That's it. He could have given her the poison.
Mr. Chameleon, that's what I started to tell you. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Walters was afraid of her, this Mrs. Newell, or Schultz, or whatever her name is. She thought she'd been stealing securities and money out of the library safe.
When did she tell you this, Mr. Lucas?
Just the other day. Ralph and I, as you know, were her advisors. She confided in me particularly. I was very close to her and Phyllis. And she told me she'd been suspicious of Mrs. Newell for some time. Isn't that right, Ralph?
Yes, that's right.
I hate to tell you this, but I feel I must. I feel you and I should be working together.
Yes, that's very nice of you, Mr. Lucas.
Well, what do you say, Mr. Chameleon? Shall we take her down to headquarters? You've got to admit the evidence is all against her.
I know the evidence is all against me, but I didn't kill her. I couldn't have, no matter how strong the evidence.
Mrs. Newell, over my desk there hangs a motto. The innocent must be protected. The guilty must be punished.
And you believe that?
I try to live by it.
But suppose I can't prove my innocence?
If you're innocent, Mrs. Newell...
I tell you, I am.
If you're innocent, it shall be proven. And if you're not, I'm afraid that will be proven also.
Mr. Chameleon, you mean you're holding Mrs. Newell?
Yes, for questioning, Miss Walters. You see, we have to. The evidence is very, very strong against her.
Oh, it seems so awful. I don't know who to trust or not to trust anymore. Except Arthur, Mr. Lucas. With him, I feel safe.
Yes, you're marrying him very soon, aren't you?
Yes, at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, well, I didn't think it was that soon. However, you've been hurt and badly frightened. It's only natural, I suppose, for you to run to a safe haven.
Oh, that's so true, Mr. Chameleon. He's a good deal older than I am, but that makes me even less afraid.
Yes, I'm sure your mother felt that way about him, too.
Oh, yes, he was wonderful for both of us.
All right, Miss Walters, that's all. Would you please send in Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold? He's out in the hall. Goodbye.
Oh, Detective Sergeant Arnold, Mr. Chameleon wants you.
Okay, Miss Walters. Thanks.
You shut the door, please, Dave. Dave, tell me, what do you think of this Arthur Lucas?
Lucas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's one of those big shots down on Wall Street. He and that Crane guy, investment counselors. Why do you ask?
Without even realizing it, he may have information in his office that would give us a lead. You see, he suspects Mrs. Newell. He told me that. After all, her son is in Sing Sing. Now, how do we know that she isn't a front for a ring? I'd like to look around that place.
Oh, that's easy.
Well, I mean without their knowing I was doing it. If they knew, they might let something slip. They'd be there, all right, but they wouldn't know me.
You mean you'd go in there looking like somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Why not, Dave? Anyone would think this was a new routine. Is my name Chameleon? Of course I want to go in there in disguise.
But so help me, this time I don't think you'd get away with it. Those are smart men, Mr. Chameleon, and they've met you. No, sir, this time you couldn't get away with it.
Look, Dave, it's not a case of assuming a disguise. It's a case of feeling like another person as well as looking like another person. Lucas is the sharper one of the two, but there is some particular disguise that would work with him, too. There always is, Dave. There always is. Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah?
When you're through questioning that housekeeper, Mrs. Newell, you let her go, please. But have someone tail her. Keep an eye on her.
And how?
I wonder what sort of disguise would fool Arthur Lucas. I wonder, Dave.
For heaven's sake, Ralph, relax, will you? You're driving me crazy with that endless pacing.
Well, what do you want me to do, Lucas? I'm worried sick about those account books.
I'm worried about them, too, but nobody's asked to look at them yet. And even if they are a bit irregular, it doesn't mean we're murderers.
Listen, Lucas, Chameleon's like Orkoff, despite his yelling that the innocent must be protected. If he got in here, he might fake the evidence against us.
And what makes you so sure he'll get in here, as you call it?
Are you kidding? Any moment that door may open and he may walk in and we wouldn't even know it.
I'd know it.
You think you're that much smarter than all the others he's tricked?
I'm smart enough not to let Chameleon's reputation throw me into a state of helpless hysteria. I've talked to the man. I've looked him straight in the face.
And what does he look like? Can you recall his features?
He's extremely handsome.
What's the color of his eyes?
I don't know, but if you think that some childish
Listen
disguise...
Listen to me. Art Cavanaugh was a smart operator. Chameleon got him by posing as a confidence man. And the case of that fake insurance ring, he got them all by pretending he was a man over 80. And that actress who killed her husband, he got...
Oh, excuse me. I thought you gentlemen was gone.
Not yet, in about an hour.
Okay, I'll be back.
Who was that?
New charwoman. Did you think it might be Chameleon?
Now, don't laugh.
Listen, Ralph. I'm worried about the books, too, but I'm hanged if I'll show it. As for Chameleon, he won't get away with a thing. I'll recognize him. He won't have a chance.
Mr. Chameleon and the Case of the Dead Woman's Eyes continues in just a moment. The next time you have an ordinary headache and want quick, reliable relief, remember this. No headache tablet is ready to go to work until it has dissolved in your stomach. And because genuine Bayer aspirin starts disintegrating within 2 seconds, it's ready to go to work almost at once. Now, to actually see Bayer aspirin's remarkable disintegrating action, simply drop one of these tablets in a glass of water. Before it reaches the bottom of the glass, the tablet will start to disintegrate. You'll have visual proof that Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly because what it does in the glass, it does in your stomach. In addition to giving you relief that's so fast you'll be amazed, Bayer aspirin is also reliable. You see, Bayer aspirin has been used without ill effect by millions of normal people. When you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin. Never buy the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Case of the Dead Woman's Eyes. It is the following morning, and in the police commissioner's office at Central Headquarters, Mr. Chameleon is leaning across the commissioner's desk, and there is no mistaking the excitement he feels.
This is it. I'm sure of it, Commissioner. It feels right, and therefore it's going to look right.
But how are you going to do it, Chameleon?
Oh, a round-shouldered stoop, as if I'd spent most of my life bending over books.
Mm-hmm.
Glasses, gray hair, shabby clothes, and most of all, a deep-seated bitterness, because I feel that I'm underpaid with all the mouths that I have to feed.
Well, that's a nice little note, considering you're a bachelor.
Hmm? No, Mr. Chameleon's a bachelor. Mr. Harry Mitchell is a very good husband and father. So go ahead, Commissioner, call them, will you? Tell them that you're sending over a police auditor to look at their books.
Hello? Is Mr. Lucas? Oh, yes, Commissioner. You what? Well, you really consider that necessary?
What's the matter?
Well, of course, I'll be only too glad to cooperate. When will he be here? Tomorrow morning? Fine. Goodbye, Commissioner.
Are they sending over an auditor?
Yes, he says they're interested in how much Mrs. Newell stole.
I know it. I knew they would.
Be quiet. I want to think.
A lot of good that'll do.
Will you be quiet? Perhaps I can manage him.
How?
The usual way.
Well, maybe you can. But I know one thing. You couldn't handle Chameleon that way. And here we sit, just waiting for him. And he gets closer and closer, just waiting. For all we know, he's already here.
Will you quit that?
No, I won't. We have a new elevator man, that new charwoman. This building's full of new people, and any one of them may be Chameleon. Well, they may be.
I said I'd recognize Chameleon. Meanwhile, I'll take a look at that new elevator man. Is he on now?
Yes, he is.
He'll be back in a few minutes. And if I were you, I'd calm down a bit.
Thinks he's so clever. He'll know Chameleon. I know him, too. I spotted him yesterday. I won't be dismissed as an hysterical fool. What's that? What the devil are you doing in here?
Well, I'm cleaning the office.
Are you? You don't say. Well, you're always around pretending to clean and eavesdropping.
Oh, no, sir.
Don't give me that. You were eavesdropping just now, and you probably heard plenty. But you won't get away with it. You won't get away with it, Chameleon. I know you.
Oh, no!
Lucas, I thought it was Chameleon. I really did. I thought he had overheard us. Is she dead?
Yes, you stupid fool.
What are we going to do?
Fortunately for us, the offices around us are all closed. But even so, we can't get her out of the building. And with the police coming in tomorrow, you fool, I could kill you.
We'll have to think of something.
We will think of something.
You might have done the same thing.
If I did, my dear Ralph, I'd get the right man.
All set, Mr. Chameleon? Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, I am, Dave. I mean, Sergeant Arnold.
So help me, you seem to have shrunk to half your size.
It's the suit. A couple of sizes too large for me.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in it. Or in your shoes, either. Hey, that's funny. There's the office, Lucas and Crane, but the door's open a little.
Do they usually keep it closed?
Huh? Oh, I wondered where that voice was coming from. Yeah, they usually do. Tight closed.
Then perhaps there's something there they want someone to discover. It is pretty early. They may not be here yet.
Yeah. Better let me go in first.
Holy smoke! Look! She's dead. The old charwoman's dead and the office has practically been torn apart.
This is horrible. The motive must have been robbery. See, they've rifled my desk. I suppose that poor charwoman walked in on them while they were doing it.
And got blasted in the face, Mr. Lucas.
Yes, Sergeant Arnold.
What time did you leave last night?
Oh, about 6 o'clock, right after the commissioner called me to say the auditor was coming. This poor... Who's that sitting over there in the corner?
Oh, that's the auditor. Mr. Mitchell.
Yes? I was wondering how long I was going to have to sit there.
I'm sorry. Mr. Lucas, this is Mr. Mitchell, our police department auditor.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
When can I start going over the books, may I ask, or do I have to waste a whole day?
Look, we had to take the body away, didn't we? Anyhow, we're all through here now, so stop beefing. When can he start, Mr. Lucas?
Anytime he wishes to.
Okay, what more do you want, Mitchell? I'm going now, Mr. Lucas. I've got a report to headquarters.
Very well, Mr. Arnold. I'll take care of Mr. Mitchell.
So long, Mitch.
Goodbye. And the name is Mitchell. They make me sick. Not one of them could do the kind of work I do. Yet they treat me as if I were of no importance.
Well, I should think you'd be extremely important to the police.
Thank you. I'm glad someone feels that way, Mr. Lucas.
Don't you find police auditing interesting work?
I might, if I was paid properly. I happen to have a family, 3 children, Mr. Lucas, 3 children on my salary. Well, I won't go into that.
Mm-hmm. Sit down for a moment.
If you don't mind, I'll move around while I can. I'll be sitting all day over your books. Yes, and that's another thing. I never get any exercise or fresh air. What are you staring at?
You?
Why?
Just looking you over, sizing you up. Mm. I like to size up anyone who works for me in any capacity.
Well, it makes me uncomfortable. Wish you wouldn't do it.
I'm simply trying to make up my mind about you.
In what way? In what way?
I'll tell you now. I've reached a decision about you.
Well?
You and I can do business together, can't we?
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Mitchell, I agree that you're probably atrociously underpaid, and with a family to think of, it just isn't right.
No, it certainly is not.
Perhaps I could make up to you a little for the injustice.
I beg your pardon?
Shall we say a very substantial bonus, if I'm pleased with the way in which you audit my books? You could use a bonus, couldn't you?
Yes. Yes, I could. Thank you very much.
Not at all, Mr. Mitchell. The pleasure's all mine. You told me exactly what I wanted to hear.
There it is again, that same board. That must be loose. It must be.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell, I'm going out for a little while. My partner should come in. I'll be back within the hour.
Yes, Mr. Lucas.
How are the books coming?
Fine, fine.
Seems to me you've been walking around a great deal.
Just stretching my legs a little from time to time.
Well, stretch them all you want. I'm going to meet my fiancée. I'll be a married man, too, in a couple of days.
Congratulations.
Thank you. See you later.
But not too soon, I hope. Now, where is that board? I've got to do it now. Where is it? Here, I should say. That's the one. See if I can pry it loose, this knife ought to do it. Yes, yes, it is loose. There we are. There's something underneath it. A small white envelope. The poison. The poison.
Mr. Mitchell, I met my partner out in the hall.
Mitchell, what are you doing?
I dropped something. I was looking for it.
He's lying. He's got that board pried up.
Chameleon, so that's it. Well, Mr. Chameleon, I guess this is one time when I'll have to use my gun whether I like them or not.
Sorry, Mr. Lucas. I was a little quicker with the gun than you were.
My hand, it's bleeding.
Oh, that's too bad. Well,
stay where you are, Ralph Crane. I'll pick that gun up.
There we are. Now we can talk.
Why didn't you move faster, Lucas, you stupid idiot? Why'd you give him time to pull his gun?
Shut up.
You heard Mr. Lucas say that he disliked guns. Gun is such a vulgar weapon, isn't it?
Now, look here, Chameleon. Just because you found that...
Poison? Yes, poison's the word. But you used on at least 3 women beside Mrs. Walters.
I didn't kill Mrs. Walters. I wasn't with her when she died.
You mean, don't you, that you left by the French windows and out through the garden so that Mrs. Newell was alone in the room when Phyllis found her? Well, never again will you be able to exploit women and then kill them when they begin to ask questions, Mr. Lucas. But is that really your name? You've had at least 10 that I know of.
What?
Oh, yes, Lucas. Bigamist, murderer, world traveler, starting in Rhodesia many years ago with a small-time crook as a partner. Isn't that right?
How'd you know all this?
My dear Lucas, the police all over the world have been after you for years. But you covered your trail very, very beautifully. We had no evidence against you.
You wouldn't have now if you hadn't fallen for that disguise of yours, Chameleon.
It's a good one. You would have fallen for it too, Crane.
Yes, it is a good one, isn't it? But I counted on something else. I counted on your wanting to believe in me, the way all your victims wanted to believe in you. Those poor women needed a confidant. And you, Mr. Lucas, needed an auditor whom you could bribe.
So, you worked on the same theory that I always used.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Yes, isn't it? But you'll never put your theory into practice again, not with Phyllis, whom you will not marry, of course, or anyone else.
We had to stop in to see you, Mr. Chameleon, Mrs. Newell and I. We both wanted to thank you.
Oh, yes. I'm so grateful. Miss Phyllis knows all about my son, and she still wants me to stay with her.
Well, why shouldn't she, Mrs. Newell? You're no criminal.
You know, Mr. Chameleon, you saved us both.
Well, that's what we cops are here for, aren't we? Do you remember that motto over my desk? Well, believe me, Miss Walters, we mean every word of it. The innocent must be protected. The guilty must be punished.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. The way that millions get amazingly fast relief from common headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain is to take quick-acting Bayer aspirin. Bayer aspirin is one thing that really works, and works quickly, and you can see the reason why with your own eyes. Just drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water and clock its disintegrating speed. Within 2 seconds, it will start to disintegrate, and because it does the same in your stomach, because it's ready to go to work almost instantly, relief comes with astonishing speed. In addition, you can take Bayer aspirin with complete confidence, for of all pain relievers, none can match its record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So when you buy, be sure to ask for genuine Bayer aspirin. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the Man of Many Faces, in The Case of the Brownstone Murder. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Baumer, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Now, at last, you can get an utterly new, radically different, incredibly better toothpaste. It's revolutionary new Lion's toothpaste. And it's better because thousands of laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth show that it actually gets teeth brighter, 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands. Brighter by far than any other toothpaste. New Lion's toothpaste does this because it's a new kind of toothpaste, with a formula that's completely new, radically different. A toothpaste that cleans without soap, polishes without chalk. Try it. Buy Lion's toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama, will be heard in its second performance next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, an intriguing first episode, and I have thoughts. As an origin story, the idea that he was named Chameleon and tried to live up to it, that just seems silly. I don't think that is an actual last name. I mean, if it was a first name, that would be something else. Named Chameleon Roberts and decide to live up to being Chameleon. Why a parent would name a child that, I don't know. I mean, I would not name a child Chameleon. I think that the only potential jobs are police detectives and Spider-Man villains. I think it probably would have made a little more sense if his parents were into some related trade, like the theater. But even though that was silly, I think the concept still does have some promise as it's worked out. Particularly when he gives the explanation that it's not just about makeup. That he's got to figure out how to feel like someone else. And there's just this really interesting bit of acting and thought that has to go into that. that makes it more interesting than just throwing on a funny voice. I thought the character that he created was actually rather good. I wouldn't know that it was the same actor who played Mr. Chameleon, if it wasn't made clear in the script. And really, this sort of storytelling does give the star, Carl Swenson, a chance to shine. He's a fine actor, and probably better than this series deserves at this point. And he really does sell it in terms of the concept. The series does come from the same Hummert factory that produced Mr. Keen. And that does show in a lot of things, like the way that names are said repeatedly, as well as just the general plotting. You have a main villain who shows some brilliance and some ability to come up with intricate plans, but is also a little foolish when it comes to executing them. For example, using a rare poison from the place that you have been and not everybody else has been is probably not a smart move. Now, they mention Rhodesia, and that's a name for an African region where I believe the bulk of that is now Zimbabwe. But Rhodesia was what the area was called when the British were in control over there, and that all changed after independence. We also got one of the more repetitive lines where a character says, the evidence is all against her, and then we have a little musical bridge, and then we hear her saying, I know the evidence is all against me. Did you really have to go word for word on that? But overall, I still enjoyed it. I think the concept is probably better than I may have given it credit for when I first listened to it 7 or 8 years ago. The plots still have a lot of melodrama and can go some silly places just as the Mr. Keen stories did. But I think we'll have an interesting few months going through this series. Now, I will mention that most of the episodes that will be playing here have been acquired through Ted Davenport's purchasing group. And we're honoring that 6-month rule before sharing them publicly. So we're not allowed to share them within the first 6 months after we acquired them. And we're going to be honoring that as we bring you episodes in this series. Now I want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day, and I want to thank Steve, Patreon supporter since May of 2019, currently supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support, Steve. Well, that will do it for today. We'll be back next week with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. And join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X, where...
Sure there's no mistake, Chief?
Not a chance, Ken. It's Formula H, all right. The key to the most destructive weapon ever conceived by man. And a set of the microfilm is missing.
When was the loss discovered?
I got a call from Los Alamos 20 minutes ago.
Any idea who?
Take your choice, Ken. Sir John Saunders of England, Charles Gomar of France, Aline Najda of Belgium.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Three of the world's greatest atomic scientists. All of them cleared to work with our top men. And all of them had access to those plans.
What's been done about him?
Washington just reported on a personal security search.
And?
No trace of the film.
No, there wouldn't be.
Well, what the devil are we going to do about it? We can't let those plans get out of the States. Why, Ken, if they fall into the wrong hands, the whole world could go up in smoke.
Chief, weren't the three of them about to leave this country for a scientific convention in Paris?
That's right. They were all set to take off at midnight from Washington in a chartered plane, but don't worry about that. We'll cancel the flight and hold them in custody.
Why?
Why? For Pete's sake, Ken. One of them's obviously using that trip as an excuse to get out of the country with those plans.
That's why I think we should let him go.
What?
Look, Chief. It's 100 to 1 that Formula H is on its way out of the States right now. None of the three has the plans on him. So what are you going to accomplish by holding them in custody?
Well, I don't know, but we just can't let them skip the country.
Why not? If I go along.
What have you got in mind, Ken?
They are not leaving Washington until midnight. That gives us plenty of time to make arrangements for me to take over as co-pilot on the flight.
Co-pilot?
I'll have until we land at Shannon Island to come up with something. Maybe learn which one it is or get some hint as to what's happening to that microfilm.
Oh, but you haven't anything to go on, Ken. Nothing to work with.
Got any other ideas, Chief?
All right.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.